Good morning. I'll be reading from John 18, verses 28 till the end. So, then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium, and it was early morning, but they themselves did not go into the praetorium, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered and said to him, "If he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you." Then Pilate said to him, "You take him and judge him according to your law." Therefore the Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death, the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke significantly by the death he would die. Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you about this concerning me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Now Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king, but for the cause I was born, and for this cause, I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all. But you have a custom that I should release someone to you at the Passover. Do you therefore want me to release you the king of the Jews?" Then they all cried out again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber.
Right. Well, thank you very much, everybody, for your contributions. I've really appreciated it all. And you might think that the verses I've chosen is nothing to do with Christmas. It's more like Easter in a lot of ways, I suppose. But actually, the verse I want to really emphasize really is this one where it says in verse 37, "Pilate therefore said to him, 'Are you a king then?' And Jesus answered, 'You rightly say that I am a king, and for this cause I was born.'" Now, you know, this is about the time of Calvary, and we cannot separate the cradle from the cross. "For this cause," Jesus says, "I was born. I was born into this world to be the king." And of course, we have this right at the very beginning. Do you remember when Mary was talking, when the angel was talking to Mary, she said to that he would be great, the son of the highest, and he's given, he shall reign, and his kingdom shall have no end. I was glad that was mentioned in the prayers by Phil, that the throne, and also the wise men. They came and they were to find this king. It's often lost at Christmas, this message, but these wise men came and says, "Where is the king of that is born, the king of the Jews?" And this rather upset Herod, of course, and he was afraid because he was the king, and who was this that was going to usurp his throne? And he devised an evil plan, and of course the great tragedy that he massacred many, many children so that he could keep his position. This king obviously was going to threaten all other kings in their position. And so we come to Jesus in Pilate's court. And Pilate represents Caesar Augustus, who was the king, who had all authority to do what he wanted, save life, kill life, whatever. And he was also, we must remember, that he was the Son of God. That is, he was Caesar's son, and they counted him as divine. And you remember the coin that was presented to Jesus, said, "Who shall we serve? Who shall we give this to?" It was a coin. And the great issue was, because this coin, it had Caesar Augustus's image on it, and around the edge it said the Son of God. And on the other side, there was an inscription and that said he was the high priest. So you can imagine the tension here. Here was the true Son of God, the King of Kings, and he was in Pilate, who represented the Augustus theory, the so-called Son of God. Here's the great high priest, Jesus, in reality. And in verse 33, he says, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom was of this world," he says, "my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered from the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." And here we have to realize that Jesus was saying, okay, my kingdom is not from this world, but it is certainly for this world. And if it was off this world, my servants would fight. And they, of course, thought it was time for Jesus to take his position, that is, his disciples, as king, and get rid of all the Romans that were bothering them and had them in bondage. And one stage, of course, when in the Garden of Gethsemane, they came to arrest him. They all fell down when he said, "I am." And when they stood up, Peter got a sword and made a swipe at one of them and cut off his ear. And Jesus said, "Look, no, this is, I must drink the cup." In other words, he says, "My kingdom is not going to become like the kingdoms of this world. It's a different kind of kingdom, and is not going to be come by militant, not going to come by the sword. It's going to come by another means, a different kind of kingdom." And his kingdom was not to fight, and not to govern by force. The disciples thought that Jesus would do that and come in opposition to Rome. So this is the sort of thing that we have to take in mind when Jesus was born. He was born, Jesus says, I have born to be king. And that was a great dispute at the time. That's what King Herod was bothered about. That's what Pilate was bothered about. And of course, that's what all the religious Pharisees and so forth were bothered about too. So we come to the situation, and the time is the time of the Passover. We read it in the first verse, verse 28, actually, that was read out. And this was the time, of course, when every Jew hearkened back to the time when they were freed from the bondage of the Egyptians. And of course, a lamb had to be prepared, and it was slain. And at that time, just at this time all this was happening, there was all these lambs being slaughtered and prepared in the temple, ready for what they called the Passover. That is when God passed over the Egyptian deaths and all the rest of it, and freed their people from slavery. So you get the picture. On one hand, people thought he was the king who was going to come and save them from the Romans Empire, like they did in Egypt through Moses. And they thought that, but here at this time, it was the Passover where the lamb was being slain. One man had to die for the nation. That's what Caiaphas said earlier, prophesied it. One man had to die for the nation. And Jesus, of course, was the lamb that was going to be slain, not the all the sheep in the temple, but he was the lamb that had to die for their freedom. And it was a different kind of kingdom that he was going to bring them into it. Jesus had to bear the terrible humiliation, the suffering of the cross. And, you know, when he died there, when he was hung on the cross, Pilate put up the inscription, the King of the Jews, emphasizing again his authority, his kingship. And it was in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin, that is for the whole world to know that this was the king. This is the real king. The terrible humiliation that Jesus had to go through as the king, as the son of the highest. They put on a robe to him, a purple robe, as to mock his kingship. The cynical, brutal way they treated the Creator, the Son of God. They put a crown of thorns on his head that was a picture of the dreadful time when God cursed the earth. The earth was under curse and thorns came forth, and they put that on his head. The curse, the thorns, he bore it. The blood ran down from the head as redeeming blood to the whole of his body, that is the church. Amazing love, astonishing love of God. Just earlier than that, Jesus has said, no, if I be lifted up, the ruler of the world is cast out. And I will draw peoples unto myself. It is an astonishing thing, this, that God manifest in the flesh, the Son of God, the Son of the Highest, the King of Kings, suffered on the cross. The altar became the cross, where that blood flowed down all over his body in redemption from the curse. And the dreadful, dreadful thing is, they cried out, crucify him, kill him. We have no king but Caesar. They didn't want this king. And we have to make a decision too. Are we going to have the king of the world? Or are we going to make Jesus Christ our king? You know, the Bible says that the way to be saved is to believe in your heart and believe unto righteousness in your heart, but also to confess that Jesus is Lord. That actually means that you're confessing that he is now king of your life. The equivalent of Caesar is no longer your king. You can't have it both ways. Either Jesus is Lord. Not only did he suffer the pain and agony to bear our sins, but he says, you and I need to confess with our mouth, with our life, that he is now our king and we're under his authority and his power. It was his task ever since that cradle to come to the cross, to Calvary. Even before the foundation of the world, it says the Lamb was slain. This was in his mind all the time. He was going to bring in the kingdom of God. That's why he taught us, says, pray like this, pray, Father, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come, he said. And he means it. This kingdom is for this world. One day he is going to come back as the King of Kings, and all the world is going to see it. But he's got to be king in our hearts now. You see, he had to give his life for me, for you, to bring this in. I suppose one of the amazing things about this story was about this man, Barabbas. He was a murderer. He was rebellious against Rome. Perhaps he thought he was going to be the Messiah. I don't know. But he was set free. And Jesus died. The king died. And the murderer got free. That's what the cross means. It doesn't matter what the terrible crime it is. Jesus has died for you. He's the king. The Son of the Highest. Has died for the worst, like Barabbas. That's why it's put here. He got free because of Jesus' death. It was a true Passover. He was freed. He freed the world. He freed everybody that would come to him. Do you remember the thief on the cross? He said, remember me. In your kingdom, when you come to your kingdom, remember me. And Jesus said, today you shall be with me in paradise. The thing is, the challenge is to every one of us that we must enter into this kingdom. We're not naturally born into it. Religion doesn't help us. The Bible says that we need to be born into this kingdom. We're not in that Christ kingdom. We're in the kingdom of the world. He's not just to come to give us a ticket to heaven, to save us from hell. That's true, true enough. But the great thing is, he wants to establish his lordship in our life, his kingdom in us. And he says, if you need to be free, you need to come to me. You've got to believe in me. You've got to trust in me. You've got to confess your sin. You've got to wholeheartedly give everything that you are, your whole body, soul, and spirit, to the King of Kings and let him be Lord of your life. He wasn't born just in a cradle for me and you to be sentimental about it. He's come to radically renew our life and bring his wonderful kingdom. Paul talks about it. He says, you know, he's transferred us from the kingdom, the power of darkness, to the kingdom of the Son of his love. I want to ask you, whoever you may be, I don't know, maybe you've been coming this church, wherever it may be, but have you really understood that Christ has died for your sin? But you've got to look to him. You've got to look to him for your whole life, your whole being. You've got to ask him to come and make his kingdom real in your heart. One day, he's going to, as wonderfully said earlier, he's going to come and reign. And I just want to read one of the popular verses this time of year in Isaiah chapter 9. And it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. That is, he's the king. He is the king in heaven right now. And he wants this government to be made known through his people now. But there will be a day when something amazing will happen. And the verses go on to say, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. There's not going to be any peace on this earth till he comes. And he is going to come. And he's going to be the Prince of Peace. And all those who are oppressed and suffer injustice, and who are slaves, they're going to know a great transition. He's going to bring justice and judgment. It goes on to say, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with just judgment and justice from that time forth, even forever. And who's going to perform this? It says, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. It's a wonderful story, Christmas, but it's more than lights and tinsel. It has to really, really come to affect our life. Depends where we're going to end up too when we die, whether we're going to be in the kingdom of God or otherwise. And I urge everyone that is listening, God so loved the world. He so loves you. He gave his only begotten son for you, that you might have everlasting life.